as a peaceful place. Is this a world full of peace to you? I wouldn't. I certainly wouldn't describe it that way. If you watch the news at all, I know you don't think of it as that, as a peaceful place. Matter of fact, this Christmas, just to be honest with you, as I kind of reflect on this past year, I can honestly describe my own life. Yep, that's about what my own life has been like. You want me to just turn it off or use his?
Christmas time, I don't know, I guess I feel that more keenly. Maybe you do too. Last week I came across this article in the London Times. It's from 1977, so you know, back in my day. And a good portion of the article was about this old Jewish man who would get up at the break of dawn. He would go to the Western Wall in Jerusalem. Maybe you guys know it as the Wailing Wall. You've probably seen pictures of it or seen it on television. And he would pray intently there from morning till evening. And the journalist who wrote the article happened to be in Jerusalem at that time, and he was researching an article about the ongoing conflict between the Arabs and the Jews in that area. So obviously, not much has changed for quite a very, very long time. But while that journalist was there researching for the article, he saw this old Jewish man praying at the Wailing Wall every single day. And that fascinated him. And so he approached the old man and he asked him, he said, you know, I've noticed that you come here to the wall every single day. How long have you been coming here, and what are you praying for? And the old man replied, he said, well, I have come here every day for 25 years. It's a long time. And he said, I pray for the peace and the reconciliation of the people of this land, because we are being so divided by hate and conflict. That amazed the journalist. 25 years he'd been praying. So he had to ask him, he said, okay, I understand, but how does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years to pray for these specific things when so much conflict still remains? And the old man looked at him sadly and he answered, it's like I'm talking to a wall. And the irony of that answer just kind of struck me. Every year around this time, we talk a lot about peace, do we not? Isn't talking about peace a big part of Christmas, right? I mean, we read passages about it. What I read to you from Luke chapter 2, of course, talked about peace on earth. The songs that Tim and Jennifer led us in, every single one of those songs had what word in it? Peace, right? I mean, that is part and parcel of it. And we love those beloved Christmas carols. We love hearing peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We light candles. We sing Silent Night, right? And we love those things. They're beautiful. And maybe for many of you, like me, it's very nostalgic. You know, I mean, especially for us as a church. We've been gathering here doing this for about, 19, 20 years now in this room together. And it is, it's nostalgic. But I can't help but wonder, does it really make any difference? Does it make any difference? I mean, you look at the world around us, right? And you see all the unrest, don't we? You see the war, you see the violence, you see the pain, you see the brokenness. And it makes you wonder, it makes me wonder, is peace on earth really actually possible? Or is it just a nice sounding phrase? You look at our own nation, right? We're still feeling the aftershocks of one of the most contentious elections in U.S. history, and we're gearing up for another one next year, right? And you've seen the deep divisions across our country, I'm sure. Perhaps you've experienced them like I have in your workplace or in your neighborhood or, like me, in your own family. So is peace really possible? Is it actually possible? Of course, you don't even have to look around the world. Don't have to look around our country to see those same signs of pain and brokenness. Oftentimes, all we have to do is look right here. Right? We just have to look inside ourselves. And we find that pain, we find that restlessness inside our own hearts. We feel those divisions inside of ourselves. And if you're like me, you feel an ache, a longing for something better. Something, you want your life to be well. You want your life to be whole. Is peace really possible? Now, we can pray for peace, and we should. We can pray for it within ourselves. We can pray for it in our relationships, our nation, in the world. We can yearn for it. But after a while, it's easy to start wondering if you're just talking to a wall. Is anybody listening? You look around, the walls that divide us seem so strong, don't they? How do you overcome all of that? The world is not the way it's supposed to be. And of course, you didn't need me to tell you that. You already knew that. Our lives are not the way they're supposed to be. We know that none of this is what God had in mind. What God desired was on his mind in the very beginning when he set about creating the world and everything in it. And what God had in mind for his creation from the very beginning was something called shalom. How many of you know that word? How many of you heard the word shalom? Now, oftentimes when we see that word, it just gets translated as, anyone? Peace, right? Peace. And that's not necessarily wrong, but that word means so much more than we tend to think it means. So much more. What does shalom mean? It means wholeness. It means flourishing. It means, and I don't know if I'm making up a word here, it means interconnectedness of everything. I did. Yeah, that's my word. It is now a word. It means right relationship with God. It means right relationship with others. It means right relationship with all of creation. That, guys, was God's vision when he made everything. When he created all that he made. But sadly, we know what happened, don't we? I suspect most of us know what happened to what God intended. Our sin, man's sin, made a mess of things. It disrupted this shalom. It fractured all the relationships. And as a result, all the walls went up. All the divisions went up. Almost immediately. Between Adam and Eve, boom, walls. You know? Between God and man, walls. Even in our own hearts, they're divided. Now, I know I'm talking about sad things here tonight. I can tell by the look on some of your faces, you're thinking, what in the world, man? This is supposed to be Christmas Eve, right? A Christmas Eve message. I don't know what you expected to hear on Christmas. Maybe you wanted to hear about visions of sugar plums dancing in your head. I don't know. At a minimum, maybe you just wanted to hear about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But I suspect that we are all aware that these things, sugar plums or peace, don't really truthfully describe the world we're in, right? But guys, there is wonderful news here tonight. I am certainly not going to end leaving you hanging like that. There is wonderful news. God refuses to leave this world a mess. He absolutely refuses. He refuses to leave it fractured and broken. He refuses to have a world with so many walls, so many divisions, so much brokenness. So what does God do? God enters into the mess. This amazes me. You know, Ivan is an engineer. And Ivan and I have had many conversations over the years when life is tough, when things don't go the way we would like. And the engineer in Ivan says, we just have to fix it and then it's done. We can just move on, right? That's the way many of us maybe think. Just fix the problem and then everything is better. We might expect God to do that from on high, from heaven. Just I don't know, destroy the whole thing. Just start over. Instead, what did God do? He entered into the darkness, into the brokenness. God came to be with us. That's what the word, the name Emmanuel means. God with us. Among all those walls, among all that war and anger and hatred and damage and divisions, God entered into that. Why? What was his intention? His intention, guys, was to bring the world back together, to break down the walls, to restore his shalom, to bring his peace. And so the prophet Isaiah very famously prophesies about it in Isaiah chapter 9. He talks about a child who will be a light in the darkness. A Messiah, a Savior who will come to draw people back together, draw people back to God, usher in God's shalom, God's peace for all people, for all nations. And in verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah tells us that this child has a name. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You want to know what that word is in Hebrew? Shalom. The Prince, the King of Shalom. His name is Jesus. The name Jesus means God saves. He has a name. He also has a face. With what we're celebrating tonight, of course, that was the scrunched up, ruddy face of an infant. I just got to sing O Town of Bethlehem with one right there in the back row. It's pretty cool, right? Little babies are awesome. Little kids are great. But they're helpless. They're vulnerable. That was God in that manger. Born into straw. Born into poverty to a teenage mom and her fiancé. And Isaiah says that this child will bring in another kingdom. He will usher in another kingdom, a kingdom of peace, where righteousness and justice meet in peace. Shalom. Guys, we need to understand that peace isn't merely an absence of conflict. I mean, I know that's often what we would like in the midst of our troubles and our hardships, or even just looking at the wars in the world. We just want it to stop. We just want a cessation of hostility. But that is not all that peace is. Peace is also the presence of something wonderful, not just the absence of something. It is the presence of justice, of beauty, of goodness, of wholeness, of God's very spirit. That's what shalom is. That is a peace in which the walls come down and we can finally be at peace with God. Forgiven of our sin. Put back in right relationship. We can experience peace with one another. We can overcome our divisions. We can move close to one another in love and understanding. And nations can, as Scripture proclaims, beat their weapons into plowshares and stop warring against each other. This child that we celebrate tonight brings this peace. He makes this peace, which seems impossible, possible. A God who is able to do what you and I, in all of our efforts, in all of our striving, could never do. This child who would grow up to be a man, fully God and fully human, who would lay down his own life in a sacrifice of love, only to burst forth from the tomb 3 days later victorious, crowned the Lord of all. The impossible possibility. And now, because of this Prince of Shalom, because of this Prince of Peace, guess what, guys? This world really can be different. It really can be. And if you are so jaded, as I can often become, my family will attest to that. If you are so jaded by everything you see in the world, in our nation, in our own hearts, that you doubt that this world could really be different because of this child, I want to share with you the way that the Apostle Paul talks about this very thing in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. He writes, "But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in His own body on the cross He broke down the walls of hostility that separated us from one another. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from the two groups." Guys, do you understand what Paul is describing there? That was the result of Jesus coming into this world. He is describing shalom. Is it any wonder at all that those angels cried out, sang out, worshipped that first Christmas day, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And while we may not see that peace as often as we would like, in this world, it is now possible because of our Prince of Peace. It is possible. And I know that you have, probably each one of you, if I gave you an opportunity tonight, you could probably stand up and share memories of times in your own life where that seemingly impossible peace just flooded in, like the light of that star on the manger that first Christmas Eve. In fact, I want to share a story with you. It's not my story. I thought about maybe sharing some of my story with you, but I fear I'd just end up blubbering and crying up here in front of you instead of getting through it. But I did want to share with you an example of this very thing that I'm talking about. In 1914, as you may be aware, the world found itself embroiled in a horrific world war, World War I. This was a war, of course, where the world, the countries and families, individuals were being torn apart, right? Just torn apart by a complete and utter absence of peace. And while most people thought that the war would end by Christmas, it was far from over. And on the Western Front in France, British, French, and Scottish troops faced German troops across acres and acres of barren land that had been just torn apart by fighting. There was nothing left. The trees were gone. The grass was gone. It was just pockmarked hell is what it was. And these armies were facing each other over this land. Both sides had basically dug in, digging holes, foxholes, and trenches. And that fighting in that one spot lasted for months, with neither side really getting a foothold. Over 100,000 men were there, far from home in the bitter cold of December. And on Christmas Eve, 1914, as those men huddled in the silent dark of their trenches, a German voice was heard wafting across this barren land. One of the German soldiers had begun loudly singing a beloved Christmas hymn, Stille Nacht. We call it Silent Night. And as those 100,000 men sat there in their holes, gripping their rifles, they heard Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. And soon, the French, the German, the Scottish, the English troops, huddled in their holes, began to sing along in their own languages. Everyone knew that song. They didn't even have to know German to know what song was being sung. And then something remarkable happened. You could say it was an impossible possibility. Slowly, soldiers from all sides began climbing out of their trenches without their weapons. And those who were enemies just moments before began to engage one another in conversation. They actually began to exchange little gifts with each other. A lighter, a little bit of food, you know, maybe a piece of clothing, some tobacco or something of that sort. And after a while, with the continued singing, there in that DMZ, in that horrible place, there were hugs and laughter and tears. Those enemies that night, guys, had Christmas Eve dinner with one another. And finally, an army chaplain led them all in reading the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. And all of the fighting, all of the shooting, all of the bombing ceased for the next few days. Guys, what happened there in France over 100 years ago? Just an odd coincidence? I don't think so. I think the simple beauty of God's plan to bring peace to this world through Jesus, simply sung by an unknown soldier in a horrible place, was enough to break down the political dividing walls of hostility and unite these sworn enemies in joy and tears. That's amazing to me. This is why we celebrate Christmas, guys. This is why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Yes, I would like to see wholesale peace across the board. I know you do too. In every circumstance, in every nation, in every part of the world. But without Jesus, there would be none. That's why we sing, "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." That is why we sing, "Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression will cease." Do you get the theme of all of these Christmas carols, hymns that we sing? Guys, this child that was born in Bethlehem, with that child, a kingdom of peace has come. It has come. And no matter how long we've prayed for peace, guys, we have not been praying to a wall. We absolutely have not. Because guess what? God has graciously answered our prayers already. Christ's kingdom of peace began on that first Christmas Eve. Now, I understand that that is a kingdom of peace that is not yet here in completion. Right? We are all painfully aware of that. But guess what? When Jesus returns, and he is returning, and the glory of the Lord doesn't just flood a shepherd's field, but floods the whole earth, that kingdom of peace will be complete. But it has already begun. And so the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us to join God in this work of peace that he is doing in this world. Isn't that what Jesus said to us in Matthew 5:9? Blessed are the peacemakers. Not blessed are those who wish for peace. Blessed are those who pray for peace. Although we should, right? We should pray for it. But he said, blessed are those who make peace, for they will be the sons and daughters of God. I'm talking about this tonight, guys, not only because I needed some encouragement based on the circumstances of my own life this Christmas, but I hope you needed some encouragement maybe too. That this peace is real, this peace is possible, but even more so, you and I get to be part of that process. Let it begin with each of us. Let it begin in our neighborhoods. Let it begin in our workplaces. Let it begin with our friends. Let it begin with our enemies, right? Let it begin in our cities, our nations. But first and foremost, let it begin here, in our own hearts. Because what is impossible for us is possible through Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you all stand with me?
Guys, it is just that same message.